Welcome to the Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira. The Gospel Call is a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel with the goal of calling unbelievers to faith in Christ and help believers to be rooted and grounded in God's Word. Reverend Confix Makarira is a pastor of Christ Presbyterian Church in Blanta. May the Lord bless you as you hear God's Word this evening.
Again, let me welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time. We are so glad that you are here to worship the Lord with us. And here at Christ Presbyterian Church, we believe in what is called expository preaching. And what basically that means is we read a passage of Scripture, we explain it, we focus on that passage, we explain it, and we apply it to our own lives. And in relation to that, we do what is called Lectio Continua, and basically what that means is we go through the books of the Bible, one book after another, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And this morning and currently we are going through the book of Genesis. And this morning we're in Genesis chapter number 5. So please turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter number 5, verses 1 up to 32. The word of the Lord. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. The days of Adam after he fathered Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. When Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Seth lived after he fathered Enosh 807 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. When Enosh had lived 90 years, he fathered Kenan. Enosh lived after he fathered Kenan 815 years and he had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enosh were 905 years and he died. When Kenan had lived 70 years, he fathered Mahalalel. Kenan lived after he fathered Mahalalel 840 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Kenan were 910 years and he died. When Mahalalel had lived 65 years, he fathered Jared. Mahalalel lived after he fathered Jared 830 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Mahalalel were 805 years and he died. When Jared had lived 162 years, he fathered Enoch. Jared lived after he fathered Enoch 800 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. When Methuselah had lived 187 years, he fathered Lamech. Methuselah lived after he fathered Lamech 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. When Lamech had lived 182 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord had cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the pain toil of our hands. Lamech lived after he fathered Noah 505 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. After Noah was 500 years, Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. All men are like grass, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. What a precious gift it is, for you have said right here in your word that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. And this is the word that comes from your mouth. We pray, Holy Spirit, may you come and open this word for us. But also may you open our eyes, may you open our ears, and may you open our hearts so that we might see and hear and receive what you have prepared for us in your word. Thank you that you can use a weaker vessel like myself to bring this precious word to your people. And we pray, may the meditation of our hearts and the words of my mouth be acceptable before you, our God and Redeemer, in Christ Jesus. Amen. Picture galleries have so much stories to tell. Whether it's a picture gallery in a building that you go along the wall, one picture after another, as you look at those pictures, and technology has made things easier. You can have a picture gallery on your phone and you can scroll and see pictures there. But as you scroll or you go in the gallery looking at each picture tells a story. And here in our passage, Moses, as it were, takes us through a picture gallery of Adam's family, focusing on the godly line of Seth. The pictures in this gallery are in the form of names, and each name tells its own story. However, this morning, I would like us to focus more on three main pictures that we see in this passage, that we see in this photo gallery. So with the help of the Lord, we will look at our passage under the title, "And He Died." And He Died. And we're going to look at 3 points. First, the bitter picture of sin. Second, the beautiful picture of righteousness. And third, the bright picture of hope. First, the bitter picture of sin. And you see that from verses 1 up to 20 and then 25. Moses begins chapter number 5 by reminding us what he has already told us in Genesis 1 verses 26 to 27, that man was created in the image of God. This is what he writes. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. But lest we think that the image of God was completely lost when man sinned against God, Moses reiterates here, that man is still in the image of God, even in his sinful state. And you see that in verse 3. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named himself. So if Adam and Eve are in the likeness of God, their image of God, and then he fathered a son who is in the image of Adam, likeness of Adam, what it means is that even this son is also in the image of God. As we saw when we are looking at Genesis 1, the image of God should be viewed in two ways, in the broader sense and in the narrower sense. In the broader sense, man is the image of God in that he has intellectual and rational powers. He's a moral being and has a sense of right and wrong. He's a spiritual being. He's a rational being. And all those that are called God's communicable attributes, like love, wisdom, truthfulness, patience, kindness, and all those. That's in a broader sense. Man is the image of God in that sense. But also, man is the image of God in a narrower sense. And the image of God in man in a narrower sense consists of perfect knowledge, perfect righteousness, and perfect holiness. As we read in Colossians 3 verse 10 and Ephesians 4 verse 24. It's the image of God in the narrower sense that was lost when man sinned against God in Genesis 3. Today, man is no longer perfectly knowledgeable. Today, man no longer has perfect knowledge. Today, man no longer has perfect righteousness. Today, man is no longer perfectly holy. It's this image that was lost. But as the Bible tells us, God is restoring this image for those who have believed in Christ, as we read again in Colossians 3 verse 10 and Ephesians 4, verse 24, that those who are in Christ, the Lord is restoring this image, and it will be completed when we enter into glory. And one of the ways that shows us that man is no longer perfect in the image of God is what we read repeatedly in our passage. And he died. And he died. 8 times in this passage, we read that phrase. What a somber phrase. A bitter picture of sin. If man had not sinned, we would not have read this phrase here. But it's because of sin. Paul writes in Romans 5, verse 12, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned against God. Death is spreading, as you look at this chapter, from one generation to another, then to another, because of the sin of Adam. But also, this phrase should always remind us that we will not live in this world forever. We are not meant to live in this world forever. When our first parents sinned, they cut short our lives. Even though they lived 900 plus years, it was still short. Because God had clearly said, if you eat of that fruit, you shall surely die. God had to keep his word. This is why we die. We are not going to live in this world forever. Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then vanishes. James 4, verse 4. Our life is like a flower, flourishing in the morning and withering in the evening. Psalm 103, verse 15. This is why Moses' prayer in Psalm 90 should be a prayer for all God's people. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. The Lord should teach us to number our days that we may gain that heart of wisdom to know that we are not going to live forever in this world. Oh, my friend, do not forget the truth of the brevity of life. Keep a short account with God, as the Puritans would say. In other words, believe in Christ before death comes knocking at your door. Because it will. It will. Sooner or later, death will come and knock at the door. And this phrase will one day apply to you and me. And he and she died. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. Revelation 14, verse 13. And he died. And he died. The bitter picture of sin. But here in our passage, we do not only have the bitter picture of sin. Secondly, we have a beautiful picture of righteousness. A beautiful picture of righteousness. And we see that in verses 21 to 24. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he fathered Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he fathered Methuselah 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Thus all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now all these men listed here, I believe, were believers, because this is a godly line of Seth. This is a godly line, and all these people, I believe, were believers. But the Bible focuses more on Enoch's righteous walk with the Lord. And notice 2 times in verses 22 and 24, we read, and Enoch walked with God. He walked with God. And the result of his walking with God was that the Lord took him. Enoch never experienced death. This is the only person here that we don't read, and he died. Instead, what we read, and the Lord took him. The Lord took him. In the Bible, there are only 2 people who did not experience death: Enoch and Elijah. only two people. And the Bible does not go into details how the Lord took him, but the Lord took him. And again, later on, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, that when the Lord comes on the final day, those who will be alive will not experience death, but instead they will be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and they will join the Lord and be with the Lord forever. So it's only believers that will be alive when Christ comes again. Them, like Enoch and Elijah, will not taste death. But for the rest of believers, will taste death. Now, when you read this, you just wonder, what was going on in the minds of the family of Enoch? We don't know where he was when the Lord took him. Was he in the field? Martin Luther tries to figure out what happened here, and he goes, imagine, he was in the field working there, and the kids are expecting daddy doesn't come, and they go to check on the field. Daddy's not here. Where is he? He's gone. They start searching, and they don't find him. And later the Lord has to tell them, to say, well, Enoch is here. Enoch is in heaven. Just imagining that. How could that feel like? The wonder, the confusion among the members of his family. Now, the phrase, he walked with God, what does that really mean? What does that really mean? And I think for us to understand it, we don't have to speculate. The author of Hebrews helps us to understand that. So if you will, please turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11, verses 5 and 6. And this is what the author of Hebrews says. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. There, the author of Hebrews helps us to understand what it means to walk with God. Enoch placed his faith in God. He believed in God for his salvation. You say, by faith, the author of Hebrews tells us, by faith, Enoch was taken up. It was through faith that Enoch was taken up. Now you notice that in Genesis chapter number 5, he tells us that Enoch began walking with the Lord after he fathered Methuselah. And that is when he was 65 years old. Probably before he turned 65, Enoch never walked with God. He lived for himself. But then something happened when he fathered Methuselah at the age of 65. Then Enoch began walking with the Lord. And for 300 years, he walked with the Lord. He did not walk by sight. He walked by faith, placing his faith in his Savior. And then the author of Hebrews tells us he pleased God. What a wonderful phrase. He did not live for himself, but live for God. Enoch loved God. You can't walk with someone for 300 years and not love them. It can't happen. But he walked with the Lord for 300 years because he loved God. He had an intimate relationship with God. Matthew Henry observes that Enoch did not walk after God, but walked with God. And very few people are referred to as those walking with God. Actually, it's Enoch and Noah only. And then the other one is the image of the Messiah to come, the high priest in Malachi, that is walking with God. Only those three in the entire Bible that phrase is used for. So Enoch walked with God. But also based on Jude 14 and 15, you can turn with me if you will. Jude 14 and 15, we see what it means to walk with the Lord. As Jude tells us more so about Enoch, and this is what he says in verse 14. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Based here, you see that Enoch was a holy man. He lived in the times of ungodliness. That's what we see here. He spoke, he preached against, he prophesied against ungodliness in his own time. There was ungodliness, but Enoch departed from ungodliness and walked with the Lord in a holy way. Enoch was a holy man. He detested sin. Just as Enoch was living in the times that holiness is detested and frowned upon, we are also called to live a holy life in times when the world frowns upon holiness. But beloved, we need to remember that walking with God means holiness, therefore also means killing sin in our lives before sin kills us. And the author of Hebrews reminds us, without holiness, no one can see God. We can't see God without holiness. Enoch was taken to be with God because he was a holy man. The Puritan John Owen makes a profound statement about holiness and killing sin. And he says, every sin is a fruit of being weary with God. Every sin is a fruit of being weary with God. When you are tired of God, that's why we sin. When we feel like we can't walk with God anymore, we feel like we are tired, and then we give in to sin. But if you are not weary of God, you're going to walk with him like Enoch, in holiness. And again, that is by grace, because we can feel it. Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. That's you and me. We are not attracted to holiness. It's foreign to us, because our hearts are evil, continually evil, as we are going to see in Genesis 6. That's who we are. Totally depraved, running away from God, wandering away. It takes the Lord to come into our hearts and to give us the grace that we can say, I will walk with the Lord, that I not will be weary of God. Enoch was never weary of God. He walked with God for 300 years, and the Lord took him into glory. A beautiful picture of righteousness. And here in our passage, we do not only have a bitter picture of sin, a beautiful picture of righteousness. Lastly, we have a bright picture of hope. A bright picture of hope. And we see that in verses 28 and 29 of Genesis chapter number 5. Verse 28, we read, when Lamech had lived 102 years, he fathered a son and called his name Noah, saying, out of the ground that the Lord has cursed, this one shall bring us relief from our work and from the painful toil of our hands. Lamech calls his son Noah, believing that this is the promised seed. You see, it's so amazing. We have seen this again and again and again. Genesis 3 verse 15 is very key in the history of redemption of man. When Lamech has a son, he looks back to the promise of Genesis 3:15. So probably this is the seed of the woman. This is the promised seed that will serve us, will give us relief from sin. Here we see that humanity is weary of sin and its impact upon humanity. They are tired. They are carrying a huge burden. They long for relief. They long to be saved. And they are looking with hope toward the promise of God. God, you promised. Our great grandfather, Adam and Eve, that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. Could this be the seed? And Lamech is convinced that Noah is the seed. But no, he was not the seed of the woman. The seed was still to come. But Noah was the shadow of the seed of the woman. In many ways, in that the Bible tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, just as Jesus Christ is the preacher of righteousness. But also the Lord saved seven people, including Noah himself, through Noah. Just as God will save many through Jesus Christ. So Noah is the type, Noah is a shadow of Christ, but he's not the promised seed of the woman. But let me make hopes in that. Finally, we are going to have relief. Finally, we are going to have relief. Here we need to marvel at the faithfulness of Lamech. He understood God very well. He understood that God cannot promise and not deliver. He understood that God is faithful. He will keep his promise. Beloved, we are blessed because we are living in the time after the promised seed has come. We are living in the times when relief is available. The relief that Lamech longed for, God has given us that relief in his Son, Jesus Christ. And hear what Christ says, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The rest, the relief that Lamech was looking for, what Christ says, here it is now, finally it is here. "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, come to the relief, come to the rest." Are you weary of sin in this world? Are you weary of sin in your own life? Are you weary of suffering and sickness and death in the world? Do you long for salvation and relief? Christ is the salvation. Christ is the relief. Come to him. Come to him and rest. Come to him and find relief. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and for your mercy. We thank you, O Lord, for what you've done in your Son, Jesus Christ. That as we look back, our forefathers in the faith, they longed for that relief. And we thank you that you gave the relief. You kept your promise as you are always faithful. Lord, we pray that, Lord, may we all in here this morning find this rest and that we can say with Lamech, we have found the relief. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Gospel Call with Reverend Confix Makarira, a radio ministry of Christ Presbyterian Church. If you have any questions regarding what you have heard in this program, or you would like to hear more about the gospel of Jesus Christ, or attend our church, please contact us at The Gospel Call, P.O. Box 2153, Blantyre, or visit our website, www.christchurchmalawi.org. May the Holy Spirit continue to speak and apply God's word to your life.